वासुदेवाय
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Reading from Gansavar Srimad Bhagavatam. Canto 1, chapter 13, entitled Dhritarashtra Quits Home. Text number 16. Yudhishthira Lata Rajo Krishtra Potram Kulandharam Vratribe Lokapala Bhar Mumute Parayasriya Yudhishthira Lata Rajo Drishva Potram Kulandharam Ratri Bhilokapala Bhara Mumute Parayasriya Yudhishthira Lata Rajo Drishva Potram Kulandharam Ratri Bhilokapala Bhara Mumude Parayasriya. Word for word, please repeat. Yudhishthira Yudhishthira Lata Rajo. Possessing his paternal kingdom. Drishpa, by seeing. Potram, the grandson. Kulam, Dharam, just suitable for the dynasty. Bratribhi, by the brothers. Loka Palabhaya, who were all expert administrators. Mumude, enjoyed life. Paraya, uncommon. Shriya, opulence. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki. Translation. Having won his kingdom and observed the birth of one grandson competent to continue the noble tradition of his family, Maharaj Yudhishthira reigned peacefully and enjoyed uncommon opulence in cooperation with his younger brothers, who were all expert administrators to the common people. Purport. Both Maharaj Yudhishthira and Arjuna were unhappy from the beginning of the battle of Kurukshetra. But even though they were unwilling to kill their own men in the fight, it had been done as a matter of duty, for it was planned by the will of the Supreme Lord Sri Krishna. After the battle, Maharaj Yudhishthira was unhappy over such mass killings. Practically, there was none to continue the Kuru dynasty after them. The only remaining hope was the child in the womb of his daughter-in-law, Uttara. And he was also attacked by Ashvatthama, but by the grace of the Lord the child was saved. So after the settlement of all disturbing conditions and re-establishment of the peaceful order of the state, and after seeing the surviving child, Parikshit, well satisfied, Maharaj Yudhishthira felt some relief as a human being, although he had very little attraction for material happiness, which is always illusory and temporary. Om Ganatamarandasya Ganandana Shalakaya Chakshur Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Mukham Karachi Vachalam Pangun Laigaiti Gurim Yakripatamaham Bande Shri Gurindinatarnam Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Garadhar Shiva Sadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Just making sure everyone's awake after last night's late night kirtan, including myself. Excuse me, my voice is a bit hoarse this morning. It seems to be an ongoing problem I have that I lose my voice a lot. So please bear with me. So in the purport, Srila Prabhupada mentions here that how the battle of Kurukshetra, even though Arjuna and Maharaj Yudhisthira, they were unwilling to kill their own men in the fight. They did it out of duty, for it was planned by Sri Krishna. So we all know the famous saying that not a blade of grass moves without the will of the Supreme. This battle of Kurukshetra, it was planned by the Supreme Lord for a few reasons. One of the main reasons, of course, was that Bhagavad Gita was, so Krishna could speak Bhagavad Gita. You know, Krishna temporarily covered Arjuna's knowledge, and so Arjuna would inquire in his distressful condition from Krishna. So Krishna had the opportunity to speak Bhagavad Gita, not only for Arjuna's benefit, but for the benefit of all living entities for all time. Another reason was that he planned the battle to also relieve the earth of the demoniac kings and to re-establish the Pandavas on the throne. And also, another reason was to glorify his devotees. You know, the Pandavas were such expert fighters in warfare. And to show their greatness, Krishna also plans the battle of Kurukshetra. So there's some wonderful pastimes which Krishna has manifest, which shows that he can perform many objectives at one time. Actually, it's said in Srila Rupa Goswami's Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu that one of Krishna's 64 qualities is that he is clever. Clever means the ability to perform many objectives in one go. So, for example, when Krishna left Vrindavan to go to Mathura, when he entered Mathura, Kamsa had arranged a wrestling tournament, and we all know how Krishna and Balaram, they defeated all these wrestlers, Mushtika and Charana. What's his name? Chanura. And then after they defeated all the wrestlers, Krishna, he jumped up and grabbed hold of Kamsa, you know, dragged him by the hair, and killed him. So Kamsa, he had two wives, Asti and Prapti. And they were the daughters of a very powerful king. Who knows that king? Yes, Jarasandha. That's right. So, so when Asti and Prati, they were widows by Krishna killing Kansa. And Jarasandha was very much agitated and distressed at this. So he made a vow that he should wipe the earth of the Adi dynasty. So he arranged a massive army. And as described, this army was 13 Akshahinis. And it's described in the Mahabharata about the size of an Akshahini. You know, does anyone know the numbers of infantry and chariots in an Akshahini? No? It's a huge amount. Yeah, I'm not quite sure myself, but... So anyway, Jarasandha, he arranged an army of 13 Akshahinis to attack Mathura. And so Jarasandha, he came to attack, he besieged the city of Mathura. And Krishna, you know, all the residents of Mathura were like beside themselves in fear. You know, there was so much anxiety and fear. And when Krishna, he saw the army of Jarasandha, you know, he decided to, well, he was thinking, you know, like, how can he best, like, fulfill his mission statement? You know, he describes his mission statement in the Bhagavad Gita, you know, Puritaranaya Sarunam Vinashaya Tadushkritam, you know, to deliver the pious and to annihilate the miscreants. So, Krishna was thinking like this, you know, contemplating his mission statement. And he was thinking that, you know, he would just kill, wipe out the army of Jarasandha, but let Jarasandha live. And that because he knew Jarasandha's determination, and that he would come back with more armies to try to attack Mathura. So anyway, Krishna, he while he was thinking like this, two chariots descended, fully armored with weapons, one for Krishna and one for Balaram. So Krishna, he rode out into the army of Jarasandha and started slaughtering the soldiers in Jarasandha's army. There's a very graphic description in the Bhagavatam about what the remnants of Krishna's destruction look like on the battlefield. It said that the blood from the soldiers, it flows like waves of a river. The severed arms appeared like snakes. The elephants, like small islands floating in this river of blood. The horses appeared like sharks. The hands and legs appeared like different kinds of fish. And the hair of the soldiers like floated in this river of blood just like seaweed and moss. And the jewelry that all the soldiers were wearing, it appeared like just like pebbles. You know, so when Krishna performs his pastimes, he does so with such eloquence. You know, he makes everything seem attractive. You know, like we hear, you know, how, you know, Krishna's pastimes with the gopis, you know, everyone wants to hear them, but they're very sweet and attractive and that, but also these pastimes with Krishna on the battlefield, you know, they're also very attractive. You know, so so after Krishna had created this river of blood, then Balaram came on the battlefield, you know, with his expert club fighting. And he made this river of blood overflow. So after Krishna and Balaram has completely annihilated Jarasandha's army, yet they let Jarasandha go. And so Jarasandha, he went back. You know, he was feeling very despondent that he had just had his whole army of 13 Akshahini soldiers destroyed in the battle. And then Jarasandha's ministers, they saw that he was so despondent, and they tried to encourage him. You know, saying, "Oh, don't worry, you know, it was just a once-off. You know, you should reassemble your armies as soon as possible. You know, with greater strength than before." And so Jarasandha took his advice from his demoniac ministers. He assembled another army and went to attack Mathura again. But as we know, Krishna took the opportunity again to wipe out his army. And in this way, Jarasandha came to attack Mathura 17 times. And this is a very efficient way that Krishna has devised on how to release the burden of the earth from these demonic persons. So on the 18th time, when Jarasandha came to attack Mathura, Kaliyavana, the king of the Yavanas, he heard that the Yadus were the most powerful persons, most powerful dynasty on the planet. So he wanted to challenge the Yadus. And so Kaliyavana, he also assembled a humongous army consisting of 30 million Yavanas. And they, under the guidance of actually Narada Muni, you know, Narada Muni told Kaliyavana to attack Mathura at a particular time when Jarasandha was also going to attack. And they say, Narada Muni instructs the demons as well as the devotees, just to assist Krishna in his pastimes. So, at this time when Kaliyavana and Jarasandha were both going to attack Mathura, Krishna took the opportunity to erect Dwarka. You know, to build Dwarka, to keep the residents, to keep the Yadu dynasty safe. So he built Dwarka, and then he moved all the Yadu dynasty by his mystic potency to Dwarka. And then Krishna, he came out of Mathura and was walking, he just strolled through the army of Kaliyavana with no weapons at all. You know, and Kaliyavana's thinking, like, who is this guy? You know, he's, you know, I've come here to attack him. You know, he's not even taking up a weapon, and he's just walking through my army. You know, so Kaliyavana, he got down from his chariot, because it's the proper etiquette that you don't attack someone who hasn't got a weapon. So Kaliyavana, he decided to capture Krishna. And he chased after Krishna. But as he was running, he was thinking, I'm just about to catch him, you know. But he was just a bit far, Krishna was just a bit further ahead of Kaliyavana, and he couldn't quite get hold of him. As you know, Krishna is only caught by devotional service. So Kaliyavana, he had no chance of catching Krishna. So anyway, Kaliyavana, he was running faster and faster, trying to catch hold of Krishna, and Krishna was just one step ahead of him. And Kaliyavana, Krishna, he ran into a cave. And in this cave, it was obviously very dark. You know, that they, there was no light in there. And Kaliyavana, he ran after Krishna into the cave. And like, he was looking for Krishna in the cave. And he couldn't, he saw someone lying down on the ground. And he thought, you know, what's Krishna, you know, this must be Krishna. He's, you know, he's lying down, hiding from me. You know, so Kaliyavana, with all his strength, he kicked the body lying on the ground. And, you know, this person, you know, feel, you know, bit bewildered what was happening, like, woke up from sleep, and then he opened his eyes, you know, and looked at Kaliyavana and burnt him to ashes. You know, so we know that this personality was King Muchukunda. And so Muchukunda, he got the blessings from, was it Kartikeya? The general, the demigods. Like he fought for the demigods. And he was, the demigods were so pleased with King Muchukunda's fighting that he received a benediction from them. Because he was very tired after fighting for so long. He asked for the benediction that he could sleep undisturbed. And that if anyone tried to wake him up, they would burn him to ashes. That Muchukunda would burn that person to ashes. So, so in this pastime, Krishna achieved three purposes. One was to relieve the earth from all these demoniac personalities and kings that Jarasandha brought in his armies to fight Krishna. Another purpose was to erect the city of Dwarka, you know, because Krishna could foresee that it's time for a change of rasa, and that's to start his Dwarka Leela. You know, and the next purpose was to wake up King Muchukunda, because Krishna wanted to give him darshan. So one other very wonderful pastime that many purposes are achieved in one one lila. And that is the pastime of Chota Haridas in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. This is a very, very amazing pastime, very, very instructive. You know, so in Jagannath Puri, there was one great devotee of Lord Chaitanya called Bhagavan Acharya. Actually, Bhagavan Acharya, in Krishna Lila, he is a cowherd boy. He's one of the gopas of Vrindavan. You know, so he incarnated as Bhagavan Acharya to assist Lord Chaitanya with his pastimes. And so Bhagavan Acharya, he invited Lord Chaitanya around for lunch, around for prasad. And he was going to cook some wonderful varieties of vegetable dishes and rice. And that, but he didn't have any rice. And he asked Chota Haridas, who happened to be there at the time, to please go and beg some rice from the sister of Sikhi Mahiti, who is called Madhavi Devi. She is one of the 3.5 most confidential servants, servitors of the Lord Chaitanya, associates of Lord Chaitanya. The other three are, there's Sarup Damodar Goswami, Ramananda Roy, Sikhi Mahiti, and Sikhi Mahiti's sister, Madhavi. So, Chota Haridas, he went to beg some rice from Madhavi Devi, and Madhavi, she gave Chota Haridas the rice that he asked for. And then Chota Haridas went back to Bhagavan Acharya, and Bhagavan Acharya prepared all these wonderful preparations to offer to Lord Chaitanya. And Lord Chaitanya, he came round for prasad. And before he started eating, he was appreciating the fine quality of the rice. You know, and he was asking Bhagavan Acharya, you know, where did you get such like fine rice from? You know, and Bhagavan Acharya, he said, I got it from Madhavi, by begging from Madhavi Devi. And Lord Chaitanya inquires, who begged it from Madhava Devi? And then Bhagavan Acharya mentioned the name of Chota Haridas. So anyway, Lord Chaitanya, he carried on, he partook of his prasadam. There was so many wonderful varieties of vegetables, and also he prepared some digestive aids like lime and salt, and also ground ginger for the Lord. And so Lord Chaitanya, he took his prasadam and then went back to his place of residence. And then he told Govinda, do not let Chota Haridas come here anymore. Actually, Chota Haridas, he is famous for his sweet singing, his sweet voice. He used to sing beautiful kirtan for the pleasure of the Lord. So anyway, Govinda very reluctantly went to go and tell Chota Haridas that he wasn't allowed to go and see Lord Chaitanya anymore. And Chota Haridas, you know, he was like devastated. You know, and he fasted for 3 days. You know, and the devotees, they went to Lord Chaitanya and they asked him, you know, what offences Chota Haridas committed? You know, why are you not allowing him to come into your association anymore? You know, and then Lord Chaitanya, he gave some very powerful instructions. I'll just read this out. Lord Chaitanya said, I cannot tolerate seeing the face of one who has accepted the renounced order of life, but who still talks intimately with women. So strongly do the senses adhere to the objects of their enjoyment that indeed a wooden statue of a woman attracts the mind of even a great saintly person. One should not sit closely to one's mother, sister, or daughter, for the senses are so strong that they may even attract a person advanced in knowledge. There are many persons with little in their possessions who accept the renounced order of life like monkeys. They go here and there engaging in sense gratification and speaking intimately with women. So when Lord Chaitanya replied like this, all the devotees, they fell silent and they didn't approach Lord Chaitanya again. Lord Chaitanya actually threatened to leave their association and go to Alalama if the devotees headed by Swarup Damodar approached Lord Chaitanya to ask even. So the devotees, they tried to come from a different angle, and they approached Paramananda Puri, who is the godbrother of Ishwara Puri, because Lord Chaitanya would show him more respect. So anyway, Paramananda Puri also tried to speak to the Lord on behalf of Chota Haridas. You know, when this happened, Lord Chaitanya, he offered his obeisances to Paramananda Puri and said, "Now please give me your permission to go to Alanana." And then the Paramananda Puri, just very disturbed that the Lord was going to leave, so he offered obeisances and grabbed hold of the Lord's feet and said, "You are the independent Supreme Lord, please, don't leave our association." So the devotees, they didn't approach Lord Chaitanya again to ask him, or to ask him to bestow his mercy upon Chota Haridas. And anyway, in this way, a year passed, and still the Lord hadn't forgiven Chota Haridas. So Chota Haridas woke up one morning, and he left Jagannath Puri, and he went to Prayag, the confluence of the Jamuna and Ganga, and he entered deep into the waters there to give up his life. After Chota Haridas had committed suicide in this way, in his spiritual body, he would go and chant kirtan for the pleasure of Lord Chaitanya. But none of the devotees, apart from Lord Chaitanya, knew about what had happened to Chota Haridas. And after some time, when Lord Chaitanya knew Chota Haridas had committed suicide, and that he was coming to sing for Lord Chaitanya in his spiritual body, Lord Chaitanya asked Srivas Thakur, "What has happened to Chota Haridas?" And Srivas Thakur, he relayed, what had happened. Now, Chota Haridas, he had gone to Chiveni of Prayag and entered deep into the waters and committed suicide. And Lord Chaitanya, he smiled and he said, "If with sensual intention one looks at a woman in the... this is the only process for atonement." So this is a very powerful instruction for devotees, especially those in the renounced order of life. In this pastime alone, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he says that there are 7 instructions we can learn from this pastime. The first one's that although Lord Chaitanya is the incarnation of mercy, he gave up the association of his personal associates because he didn't want Although Lord Chaitanya is an incarnation of mercy, he gave up the association of his personal associates because he didn't want pseudo-devotees to take advantage and have illicit sexual connections, which would demoralize the cult of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The second lesson was that by chastising Chota Haridas, Lord Chaitanya set the standard for acharyas, maintaining a very, very high standard. Third lesson was that Lord Chaitanya instructed pure devotees they should be simple and free from sinful activities. In this way, one can become a bona fide servant of the Lord. The fourth lesson is that he wanted to prove that his devotees are exalted and their character is ideal. And he accepts faithful devotees and teaches how much tribulation and disturbance can be produced even by a slight deviation from strict principles of devotional life. The fifth lesson is that by chastising and showing his mercy upon Chota Haridas, he showed how elevated was Chota Haridas's devotion to him. The sixth lesson is that if one dies in such a celebrated place as Prayag, Mathura, Vrindavan, one can be relieved of reactions of sinful life and attain the shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And the seventh lesson was that although a pure and faithful devotee may fall down, he nevertheless ultimately gets a chance to go back home, back to Godhead by the mercy of the Lord. So these are the instructions we can learn from this pastime, Chota Haridas. So today is the auspicious disappearance day of Sri Murari Gupta. I thought I'd just say a few words about Murari Gupta. So Murari Gupta, he is one of the branches of the Sri Chaitanya tree, a very, very intimate, confidential devotee of the Supreme Lord. It said that he is a storehouse of love of God, and that his humility and meekness that he exhibited melted the heart of Lord Chaitanya. Actually, I'll give you an example of this. So Murari Gupta at first did not meet, this is from Madhya Lila, 11th chapter. Murari Gupta at first did not meet the Lord, but rather remained outside the door, falling down like a stick to offer obeisances. When Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu could not see Murari amongst his devotees, he inquired about him. Thereupon, many people immediately went to Murari, running to take him to the Lord. Thus Murari Gupta, catching 2 bunches of straw in his teeth, went before Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu with humility and meekness. Upon seeing Murari come to meet him, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went up to him, but Murari began to run away and speak as follows. My Lord, please do not touch me. I am most abominable and am not fit for you to touch because my body is sinful. The Lord said, my dear Murari, please restrain your unnecessary humility. My mind is disturbed to see your meekness. Saying this, the Lord embraced Murari and had him sit down by his side. The Lord then began to cleanse his body with his own hands. Very sweet. So Murari Gupta, he was a physician. He was a doctor. And by his mercy, he not only cured his patients of material ailments, but also of their spiritual disease. So, it's said that Murari Gupta, there's another pastime in Chaitanya Charitamrita where Lord Chaitanya, he was exhibiting the mood of Varaha Avatar, his incarnation of a boar, and he got up onto the shoulders of Murari Gupta, and they both started to dance in ecstasy. And Murari Gupta, he was actually a very staunch devotee of Lord Ramachandra. As you said, Murari Gupta is an incarnation of Hanuman. You know, one time, Lord Chaitanya, he saw the such strong devotion to Lord Ramachandra in Murari Gupta that he wrote on Murari Gupta's forehead, Ramdas. So, does anyone have any comments or questions or anything you would like to add about Murari Gupta or the pastimes that we discussed? Yes,
please. So the body of the consciousness is degraded, the creating values and decaying from their background. So the hearing Chula Vilas Rabu's story and lessons you learn, he committed suicide. What is practical condition for us?
Chula Haridas was in a renounced order of life. Well, there's the point that from this pastime is that devotees should be honest. You know? It is very difficult to give up the association of the opposite sex. You know? And if devotees cannot you know, have that desire, that inclination is there, then they should be honest. Prabhupada said that when one takes sannyas, you know, Prabhupada said that it means that he has no regrets. No regrets. There's the example, unfortunately, of Vishnujan Swami, who also gave up his life in this way. As Lord Chaitanya says, you know, that, it's the only way for atonement for a sannyasi. Do you have anything you can say on this?
Mm.
Bali Madan, who was also a sannyasi, and then he became attached to a girl who was preaching to him. So Prabhupada said, just change ashram. And Prabhupada actually did the fire jacket for Bali Madan. Even though he was a sannyasi, he did the fire jacket and married him. So Prabhupada's meaning was not that we commit suicide. Well, just I think it was very strict, but Prabhupada was more liberal. Otherwise, it would be known as a misconduct.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true. Thank you for clearing that up. Any other questions or comments? Okay, Ventura Shima Bhagavatam Ki, Srila Prabhupada Ki, Shri Murari Gupta Ki, Jaya Nitya Gopi Manam.